Postman! Postman, come here! Tell the neighborhood!
Right,
what a shonda, Larry! Larry David!
Okay.
Not only are you a lousy Jew,
asshole.
But you're a lousy human being!
He screws the wife of a man in a wheelchair! A shonda!
Maybe you should have given me some candy!
You're a lousy Jew!
Okay, well, as you promised yesterday, we have a special guest here with us. And hopefully will stay with us through the postman. We have had rabbis or a rabbi on this podcast before as a guest, and we've had actors who play rabbis or who have played rabbis, but not an actor who played a rabbi on Curb in particular until now. Michael Lippman is here with us. Rabbi Edelman, I think I should say, but there's actually a little bit of confusion because in the credits at the end of the episode, you might have changed names. So what should we call you here tonight?
Well, Michael would actually be good, but
that seems right.
There is a story behind that, but actually, what you just said, interestingly enough, when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a rabbi, and I wanted to be an actor, and I was on set, and all of a sudden it hit me. I was like, "Oh my God! Today I'm like, I get to be both," and it was really freaking cool. I got to tell you. Got to fulfill kind of two childhood dreams at one shot.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But you're not sticking with the rabbi thing. You're coming back to the actor thing.
yes.
Maybe
we'll see. Perhaps Moyle, but we'll see.
Okay. You know, Moyle who I knew who just passed away recently, actually, unfortunately, Phil Sherman was the mole to the
away. He did both my children.
Oh yeah, and he was also an actor, also a rabbi and an actor. Although yes. He was primarily on the other side.
Yes, I do actually know he was in several things, but yeah, he did the bris for both of my children.
Oh, yeah, wow. So he was a great guy. I knew him when I lived in the city, and now actually I know his son, who is a friend of mine here in New Jersey where I live. But let's jump into Curb. We're very excited to have you with us. And I guess we'll start out with asking you, you know, how did you get here? How did you get cast on the show? And tell us sort of the background of that process.
Well, it actually started in season 11. Mm-hmm. I got an audition. My manager friend Blaine got me an audition for the rabbi who was playing golf with Larry, and then made a bet. Mm-hmm. And if you won the bet, Larry would come to his temple for the high holidays. First of all, it's pretty, you know, my resume, I'm fairly new at this, although I've been acting all my life, I guess. But I got the audition, and I did really well. And I kind of was down. I was at the producers. But they decided to go with someone else. But they kind of said, like, we like him. You know, we'll remember him.
There'll be future rabbi opportunities. Enthusiasm.
Well, so interestingly enough, so then this season, Fran submitted me, I believe, for an accountant. And for like a Beverly Hills urologist.
I sense a certain stereotype here.
Kind of spec sport, you know? But they didn't give me an audition for that. And then, you know, Fran submitted for rabbi and boom, audition. And a matter of fact, this was done quite a long time ago. The audition, I believe, was in December of 2022. And I was in New York visiting my kids, and I got the audition. And this is not an audition where you can just find someone with a camera and a reader, because, you know, the audition is improv as well. So, yeah. you need to find someone who can riff with you a little bit.
Right. Just to get the juices flowing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was able to actually through someone out here, I found this really wonderful woman in Long Island City who did the audition with me, and then we didn't hear, and you know, a few weeks went by, and I went to Fran. I said, well, why don't you call? So she called Emily Bunton at Allison Jones's office, who's the casting office for this, and Emily told her that, oh yeah, he got it. So awesome. And that was it. But I it really made me happy that, you know, that they remember you, you know, and they, you know, they like you. I mean, I'm told they do, but it's nice that they actually do.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you obviously made an impression and you certainly left an impression in this episode. Do you have a particular history with Curb Your Enthusiasm and even like with the, you know, there's a very rich history of rabbis on Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld over the years where, you know, when called upon to serve in the rabbinical capacity, was any of that what you were calling upon?
No, you know, I know I'm a fan, a big fan of Seinfeld, fan of Kerr, but I would not, you know, say it from a professorial slant. I'm just a fan.
Yeah.
So I did not try to come into this with any preconceived ideas or notions. You know, I just tried not to be overly intimidated with the whole thing. So.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me you were the one doing most of the intimidating. So,
well, you know, it was my job to be, I guess, the straight man to some extent. So I just tried to be deadpan, and you know, it's funny. So that was the first scene I did with Larry, and we were doing it for, I don't know, 30 minutes or so, and I actually was not happy. You know, I kind of walked off. I was like, God, you know, I wasn't happy. And they said, no, you did great. You did great. I had another scene that actually got cut. And I had decided, okay, just be you, Michael, just be you. So when that scene started, I just started interrupting him, as you will notice I might do to you. That's just kind of how, but it was more comfortable. I actually went to high school with Alan Zweibel's brother.
Oh, okay.
And so I kind of, we were sitting there, it was in the rabbi's office. And so I was like, yeah, I went to high school with Alan Zweibel's brother, David. And he goes, oh, Duke, how's Duke doing? So that kind of broke a little ice. I was certain if I was doing the intimidating, I was just then transferring what I felt, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're not only a rabbi, of course, you're also a Mr. Lippman. And so I have to ask you, like Mr. Lippman in Seinfeld, does Sienna Miller have Sienna Miller have Schick's appeal? And if she converts, does she lose the Schick's appeal? How does that work?
You know.
We come with the tough questions here.
You know, everything's good till you actually have it, right? And then.
May I ask why?
We'll see if Larry learns that lesson over the course of this season. I have a feeling he may get that opportunity, but we'll see. He certainly didn't do himself any favors by the end of last night's.
No.
You know, Michael mentioned the previous rabbi who he and that was Rabbi Friedman, the golfer from the Watermelon, who was played by Jeffrey Markle. And so, yes, and then, of course, we have Rabbi Edelman. We have seven rabbis total in Curb. We have the rabbi from three early episodes, most famously The Renewal of the Vows, the Survivor episode played by Barry Gordon, who, of course, had the – was it a cousin who died on 9/11, hit by a bike messenger?
Right.
I think it was a cousin, something like that, yeah. On the Upper
West Side. His brother-in-law.
Oh, brother.
And Alex, I don't even see any notes, man. You're good.
Chicken played by Joanne Barron. Yeah, she could not resist that chicken. Of course, we said we had Rabbi Friedman, the golfer, who you know, makes the bet with Larry, as Michael said. We had Kenny Ellis played an unnamed rabbi at Kenny Funkhauser's funeral that Larry ruins with the falsely suspected fatwa attack. So
right.
I'm not that. We had Michael Laskin plays an unnamed rabbi at the funeral of Larry's friend, the Jets fan, who commits suicide because he can't stand being a Jets fan anymore. Michael, are you a Jets fan by any chance?
No, I'm a Giant man.
Oh, okay. You know, it's been rough lately, but at least you have those two wins over the Patriots. But I'm constantly trying to keep Av on this earth because I don't really want to attend his funeral.
Yeah, I mean, this guy didn't even have to see the whole Aaron Rodgers fiasco. Oh, my God.
Yeah, this guy got out early. That's true. And then we have Rabbi Zachary Shapiro.
Speaking of unnamed rabbis, we need to establish the name of this rabbi.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, we have one last rabbi, Rabbi Zachary Shapiro from the Larry David Sandwich. All right, We've listed the rabbis. We were going to rank them. That's okay. Yeah. So let's come back. So is it Rabbi Edelman? Like, how does the name switch happen? Tell us that story.
All right. So the role was for Rabbi Bachman, which was the name on the credit.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe when Larry came over, I went, you know, are you in charge of the bricks? The Rabbi Edelman part was added later when he said, excuse me, Rabbi Edelman. That did not happen. That was added in later. Evie came over and said, you know, are you in charge of the bricks? And I was like, you know, yes, hi, I'm Rabbi Bachman. Hmm. What we found out later was that brick, which was at the close, the brick that I bought, or Rabbi Edelman bought, I guess the prop department for some reason thought the name was Edelman. And that brick could not be changed at that point in time.
Oh, wow. We got some real behind the scenes stuff here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that second scene that was not, that was cut was in my office. And actually there was a sign on the door, Rabbi Bachman's study or something. And I actually at the last second, realized it and went to the director, to Jeff. I said, you know, I think that sign shouldn't be there because, it was right in. And he goes, oh, he was very thankful that they pulled that sign off the door because I was no longer Rabbi Bachman, although the credits have me as Rabbi Bachman. So, you know, just
yeah,
Rabbi works.
Mm. Yeah, you could be twin brothers.
I kept Rabbi Bachman. I kept thinking of Wally Bachman, you know, the Mets. Yeah.
Maybe there was a different character. Maybe there was a different rabbi at the party who was just credited as Rabbi Bachman. We'll just never know that. They got completely cut. But no, it's probably you. It's probably
No.
Your story checks out.
Just some confusion. That's all, I think.
Maybe it was a similar situation where you switched last names with your spouse because Larry convinced you although would he say that Edelman or Bachman is better? He'd probably say Bachman because
Why don't you guys just call me Ziggy and that'll be fine.
Right. Haven't met a lot of Rabbi Ziggies now that I think about it.
Which would you prefer, Ziggy Zekelman or Deegan Mantle?
I like Ziggy Zekelman, actually. It's got a nice.
Of course, that's what the rabbi would say.
Yeah. Other question for you about this episode: was the fish stuck or sick?
I think the fish was stuck personally.
Yeah. I don't think fish just hold on to filters like that voluntarily just for the warm water.
He had good color. His gills looked good. His tail was moving in a nice, I'd like to know how they actually got. Yeah. We don't want it.
Could there be cruelty to goldfish on television? Probably not. Right. They'd get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
The whole fish stuck, fish sick thing, I think as a rabbi, it really, it's a perfect metaphor for the Middle East conflict. Would you like to expound on that, Rabbi Edelman? Sorry, I'm just trying to get you in trouble.
I know.
Yeah. Can we watch the scene perhaps?
Oh, let me see if I can get that on.
Is that not the plan?
On the map?
Sorry.
So that was at the Skirball Center, right?
It was at the Skirball Center. Coincidentally, my son we'll be getting married there in September.
Oh, Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov.
Are you officiating?
So when I met the rabbi, because they live in New York, my daughter-in-law, who's from out here, our future daughter-in-law, and I get introduced to this gentleman. He goes, yeah, hi, I'm the rabbi at Skirball. I'll be performing the ceremony. I go, that's funny. I was the rabbi at Skirball. Future daughter-in-law hit me and said, don't use that joke again.
That's a great joke.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Especially by rabbi joke standards.
I don't think that's possible. It's going to, it's probably going to be incorporated into the toast speech,
Oh, there you go. It's coming back.
But it was at Skirball. So, which was quite nice. There we go. Look at that.
All right.
There's Sienna. It's right after.
Where's Sienna?
Oh, no, it's right before.
Before. Yeah.
Because he already knows about the message.
He walks away from me to her.
Yeah. Look, Kavod HaRav. You go to the rabbi before
we go up in Kedusha.
Yes.
To Sienna Miller.
All right.
Let's press play. So we see Larry David is disrespectful to women. Hobie Turner.
Excuse me.
Everybody's Rabbi Edelman? Can I talk to you for a second?
Excuse me.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
I'm glad you're here today.
Who's in charge of the bricks?
I am.
You are?
Yes.
You know there's a brick that says Larry David is disrespectful to women. You allowed that to be up there?
We don't really edit the bricks. The donor gets to express what thoughts and feelings.
Oh, so anybody could write anything they want on a brick?
Well, we would not like hate speech.
Well, what is that? That's hate speech.
I think it's strong dislike speech.
Okay, I want that taken down.
We only add bricks. We don't take them away.
Oh, you don't remove bricks. That brick is going to be up there forever.
Posterity.
Let me ask you a question. There's nothing in the Old Testament about defamatory bricks? You think if Isaac chiseled something defamatory about Jedediah, you think it wouldn't be taken down?
There's nothing in the Torah about defamatory bricks.
You know what this is, Rabbi?
What?
This is a shanda.
Excuse me.
Certainly.
Yes, yeah, so there's nothing between Isaac and Jedediah. Jedediah.
I actually remember.
Is this the Amish Bible? What's going on here?
I had actually said, you know, there's nothing in the Torah about defamatory bricks. I believe the Torah talks about tablets.
Yes.
No bricks.
Yeah. Don't defame. Is that one of them? Close enough.
So what? Where is the line between hate speech and strong dislike speech, would you say? And I ask you this as both a rabbi and a lawyer.
Rabbi and a lawyer.
Yeah, we got on the call when we realized we have three lawyers on this podcast.
Wow, look at that. But I am the only one smart enough not to be doing it any longer, I do believe.
Yeah, that is accurate. That is accurate. So you're a little ahead of the game there.
There you go.
I think we needed Ann Bedayan on the cast here because she would have called out and said to Larry, "Who the fuck is Jedediah?"
Right. Yeah. She would have gotten the Torah of characters. Right?
Was like that. Like he just like did that. Yeah. Just boom, 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 boom. You know. And I was, I don't remember it there, but watching it, I was pretty impressed how he just started rambling that stuff off. You know.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah.
They ought to give him a show, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's pretty good. Tell us about just like that experience. What was it like just being there on set? Like how incorporated was, you know, that was a very long scene at that temple. Was that all filmed together? Do you know, like, was it kind of like this whole big party there?
You mean.
You and with Sienna.
The whole thing and then Vaughn zooming in.
Yeah.
Everything was there. Everything took place there. Matter of fact, there was, I wish I could remember it. You know, right at the beginning, I'm there for a second, you know, like talking to some of the congregants who were there as Larry kind of comes by. But he came by with Tracy and God, she was talking about stuff about her stomach and this. I was cracking up from the side and it didn't make the episode. Uh-huh. Everybody.
But she did get that nice rice base, I think.
Everybody was pretty much right there. You know, it was all done there. I think I went second, cause there was a whole scene with Tracy first and then to me and then right over to Sienna. And then, they didn't do it in order. So I believe then after that was the scene with Sean and Dan, which was pretty funny, which I didn't really see. I mean, I was back there. I could kind of see what was going on, but I wasn't really listening. You know, it was pretty overwhelming. You know, I'm fairly new at this second career. You know, I've done a whole host of things, but, you know, but nothing all at the same time.
Right.
You know, so here I was, you know, Vince Vaughn, Tracy Ullman, Sean Hayes, Dan Levy, Sienna Miller and Michael Lippman, like as the Beaver, you know. I was certainly a little
and
bit
Larry David and Jeff Garland and Jeff Schaefer, you know.
Well, can we ask that question? Do you know why Jeff doesn't appear in this episode? We did see that Jeff and Susie donated a brick to the wall.
I do not know. I know Jeff did show up at my while we were there, but he was just coming by and just schmoozing and stuff.
Yeah, we got to earn that EP credit. And he wanted to make sure that he had good brick placement.
Nothing else to do. You know, it's like go hang out. You know, it's not a bad place.
Can we talk about Rabbi Edelman's brick policy here?
What kind of rack are you running over here, Edelman?
You
allow defamatory bricks in?
When it's a gift to charity, I have to assume that their motives are altruistic. You know, they're here. They're helping Temple Road of Shalom. You know, I can't think that there would be any ulterior motives other than the charity to the congregation. Now,
my other question for you is, you seem to have it out for Larry right from the beginning. Is that because, based on the brick, you assume that he's disrespectful to women? Or what is the other reason? Because my thinking is, if I'm Rabbi Edelman and, you know, this rich and famous, powerful Hollywood Jew, Larry David, comes into my synagogue, I'm not going to be a prick to him right off the bat.
As we can say, you know, like we once said for Mr. Takahashi, like, this is not his Larry's first beat around the bush with Rabbi Edelman and Larry David. Like, he's been to this temple before, caused shenanigans. He knows what he's about.
Well, I don't think I had it out for him right from the beginning. Certainly not in the actual shooting of the filming of this, because, you know, this was maybe 30 minutes worth of bantering back and forth that got cut down to 50 seconds.
But
my thinking is a little bit like, look, you know, I'm here to raise money, and now he wants to take away some of the money I'm raising. He has not offered to make any donations on his own.
That's true.
Yes, Larry is a rich and famous writer, but, you know, he's also known as not being he's pretty tight with the dollar.
By the way, I do wonder,
as we see in this episode, like, he'll offer to give money, and then he'll just say, oh, that was a trick just to get something that I wanted.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the scene that was cut, we are actually in my office, and so he came to see me, and he wants to buy a brick, you know, and he's like, how much are the bricks? And I go, $500. He goes, they were $300. I go, inflation, you know, and then he wants to try to get on the board.
That's going to cost a little more than $500.
Larry, you can't afford to get on this board. Why not? I said, well, you know, board members, you know, they give like five-figure donations. And then the other part of that scene was, he really wanted to know about Ted Danson's brick.
So you think Ted Danson did give a brick? He wasn't lying.
Well, as I told Larry, I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of
Rabbi Brick confidentiality.
Yeah. Wasn't Ted Danson anonymous at the NRDC office also?
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess Danson has a track record of doing that.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, he starts ranting a bit, and, you know, I'm just like, you know, okay, I don't have time for this jerk. So I got a lot of people to work.
Work the room, and this guy is complaining about somebody else's brick. Like,
yeah. And I've got more bricks to sell, you know?
Yeah, a lot of blank spaces on that wall. Now, the episode ends with you, not with your face, but with the line ascribed to your character, that Larry David is a Shonda for the Goyim. So it seems like by the end of the episode, certainly your mind has been made up about Larry David.
My mind was so made up that I was willing to change my name.
Yes, also true. And put it up there for posterity.
All right,
Av, should we jump into the postman?
Yeah. If Michael, if you're willing to stick around, we're going to read through some listener questions.
I'm
you down
I'm
for that?
More
oh,
than
wait. But before we do that, rankings. Actually, let's, let's, before we go into
let's get his as part of the, because the postmenters will submit theirs as well and then do it when we do the overall grade.
We'll do his at the end. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay. Let's go to the postman.
All right. We start off this week with Queen of the Castle, Ali Lasher, who says, what a fun episode. Especially after the valley of last week. Sorry, Alex. So many great moments. The bartender from Hell reference. One timely last laugh for Richard Lewis on that. Michael, you have any favorite Richard Lewis bits or jokes, with him, us losing him this past week?
Sorry
to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I can't, you know, he was just a great, you know, very funny man. You know, I was looking back at some of his Letterman appearances, which there have been many. I think he's the most Not
41 across the two shows.
He didn't really have an ego. He really cared about people. I heard he was just nice to everyone, and you know, I the people he's helped, you know, in recovery has been wonderful. It's kind of sad. It was just kind of a little, I mean, I guess you guys have spoken about it, but in the previous episode, so where he goes, you know, to Larry, I'm going to put you in my will. It was, you know, a little
on the nose. Yeah.
Yeah. A little spooky.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ali goes on to say that Ziggy and Zach Zekelman are both incredible names. There are so many repeating Seinfeld plots already this season, but the nod to Jack Klompas' Take the Pen absolutely tickled me. I'm about as desperate to see Larry out of the relationship with Irma as Larry is, so I'm hopeful this is a step in that direction. So many LOLs. Any woman who Larry David impregnated, he's not only paid for the abortion, but he accompanied her to the procedure. That's true. Never mind. They were in the hamper, and they're not that dirty.
Yeah. And see, women love that line.
It was a trick to get you to talk about it. I got a good mind to squeal on you. Oh, that's true. I don't think we covered that when he says he's going to report Richard to AA for breaching.
Yeah, blow up Richard's spot. He's killing it every week there.
One question I'm sure you've addressed. Oh, I don't think we really got into this. Is it crazy to say that Larry could have accepted Sienna's dinner party? Yeah, we talked about it briefly. Okay. He could have just like gone and like not and played it off as an unromantic.
Yeah.
Thing, just like,
but we concluded that she's playing the Jewish Bachelorette.
Right. Yeah. For her come with guy, she says Jenna. She's incredible in every scene, the little physical bits, the impressions, and we stand someone passionate about the job. How is she uncredited on IMDb? She was absolutely fantastic.
So that's just – they don't put the credits for the new episodes up because they don't want to, like, it be spoiled, you know, like who's coming on as guests for a specific episode. So they come up a few days after the episode, sometimes as soon as the day after. But, yeah, for this one, it's still not up officially. And so if you go to the credits, you'll see sort of people that have been unofficially added, and so it'll be like the – sort of the – although now I think – no, they did upload it totally since yesterday when I checked. Now I see the Chinese restaurant waiters on here who wasn't on here yesterday. We got the AA woman. We got the full group here. So, yeah, now it's up.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there yesterday either. Yeah, it was just
– morning
just,
and like
– So what does it say for you, his name?
Huh?
What does it say, Rabbi?
It's Bach, Rabbi Edelman.
It says Rabbi Edelman.
So Michael's Rabbi Edelman, and it is a Stephanie Stiles who plays Jenna. I agree with you, Allie. Great with the voices.
She says the fucking asshole is Irma's sponsor. It's crazy to ask Larry David to have someone read your daughter's script in the first place, and I think it can't be good for Irma's recovery to be forcing Larry, who hates her, to date her for an arbitrary length of time.
Yeah, this is true.
And she gives the episode 4.5 pretties.
Ooh. Good grade for Allie, although I don't agree with her denigration of last week's episode. All right, next we have Brendan Fitzpatrick, who says, seeing Richard Lewis in this episode really hit me. Really wish we got to see some of the support group stand up. Maybe we will later in the season. Got to give him the come with guy of the episode in memoriam, RIP Richard Lewis. Perfect use of Dan Levy in this episode. I've got to give him the fucking asshole award for the name conversation at the temple. Wait, hold on a second. So Brendan is saying that the bad guy in that situation is Abe Zekelman? His husband's client comes in and fucks up everything, and somehow Abe's the bad guy here. I don't agree with you, Brendan. There.
No, I agree. Abe is Dan Levy. Yeah, he's the one that escalates this into a whole big thing.
Yeah, I'm with. Abe was you know, Sean Hayes wasn't mean.
He kicks him out of the house. Like
because his husband is an incompetent lawyer, a terrible name.
I think Larry did his lawyer a favor.
Yeah. All right. I would rather be with Abe.
Didn't Christopher. You know,
not a very good lawyer. Yeah. Is this would you recommend this lawyer? What do you think of this guy's lawyerly skills?
Well, look, I wouldn't recommend anyone practicing in Georgia. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think that. Part of the problem is he's not practicing in Georgia. But yeah, we had Mocha Joe's brother. Well, the only
like attorney. Thank you both for the water while I'm standing here online. Thank you.
you're very welcome.
Please don't report us. All right, back to Brendan's email. He says, "Fish living best life downtown." That was his favorite line. It destroyed me. Brendan says, "This was another really great episode. I laughed more than last week at some of the jokes and payoffs." Going to give it slightly higher than last week, 4.2 pretties. Wow, Brendan really goes into the decimal points there. However, I could see doubling back and giving this a higher rating down the road on a revisit. Interesting. Okay.
All right. Amir Bednar says this was a phenomenal episode. A lot of classic old school Kerr plot lines, although they didn't call back to any of them. The Mantle Zeckelman storyline is right in line with Foisted when Larry had an issue with Kef's barber in terms of which woman should be the bride. Additionally, it seems shocking to not bring Anonymous when Ted says they bought a brick and didn't put anything on it. Of course, Grote's disease. But everything in this episode really worked. The Richard Lewis routine, Sienna Miller, the gambit, the brick. Overall, pretty, 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 pretty good.
Five. Wow. Full five from Amir.
He's got a bone to pick with you, Rabbi. He says, your response to Larry is ridiculous. We don't really edit the bricks. He says, when he, me and Amir, actually, we have a brick at Citi Field. And you, Alex, you asked me about this.
Yeah.
He says there was specifically a clause about defamatory language. I don't know why you have no such policy in this. especially for a synagogue. Like, I mean, there needs to be a synagogue. You know, there's clearly some editing going on.
Well, you know, first of all, we didn't judge that to be defamatory, you know,
truth is a defense.
There's a synagogue and money speaks, you know.
Yeah. had you known at the time that he liked having sex with women, would you still have posted the brick? Because then that proves that he doesn't.
Would you care to make a donation and we can perhaps discuss this further?
I would be very glad to make a donation.
Available bricks, you know, we could have the Av and Alex brick, you know, and you guys could, you know, please keep your language, you know.
If we're paying them, we get to say whatever we want.
Yeah.
That's what's been established. It's freedom of religion.
No hate speech, just the strongest like speech.
That's right. The strongest like is fine.
A couple of years ago, I got this little honor from a nice Jewish organization. And so one of my friends was taking a little ad that they put in, you know, the little journal there. And as an inside joke, he tried to I don't know if you're familiar with it, Michael. I think you probably are. Wood, the famous porn star who became a meme during COVID.
Yes.
Yeah. A very well-endowed gentleman. Yeah. So he tried to secretly embed that image into the ad that he submitted for the journal.
Oh man!
And so he gets an email. He gets an email back from the woman from, you know, from the UGA, whatever, who's organizing the ads, and she says the ad is fine, but I noted, like, is there an image there that I see it, like, and she circles it like in this part of the ad, and she sends it back. And so he plays dumb. He's like, I have no idea what that is or how that got their copy. Pasted this from somewhere. Thanks for alerting me. And she's like, yeah, it's good. I double checked.
That's
so theory is she was playing dumb out of respect for him. She's like, he's giving me the money, I'll just pretend to play dumb here.
Well, congratulations on your honor.
Yeah, that was my long way of saying that.
Metro West or of New York.
All right, Alex, why don't we jump to Mike Christensen?
Mike Christensen, yeah. So Mike Christensen sent me a Facebook message last week. When I rated the episode 4.5 pretties and the listeners were much lower than me, Mike said that the listeners were on crack. And then, and so I said, well, then send an email and submit your own rating.
Oh,
so here he comes. Mike Christensen says, another solid episode after last week's phenomenal showing. Oh, here he is. Your listeners are unhinged, thinking it was the worst episode of the season. Not on crack, just unhinged now. While there weren't the laugh-out-loud jokes I thought last week had, it was full of pedantic bits that managed to wrap up nicely by the end. Larry was definitely in the right concerning the baby name, a major factor being that I wouldn't want to subject a kid to having a last name starting with Z if given another option. I'm sure Chester can relate, but I always felt, especially with the school stuff as a kid, the earlier in the alphabet your last name, the better. Interesting. So as a Chester and a Christensen,
overall, there are certainly times where her being later was better, but most of the time it was good to be in the front.
Yeah. Christensen also, I'm guessing, not a Jewish name, probably, like Mike Zeckelman. It was clear from a mile away that Jenna wasn't going to be a Disney exec, but I was still surprised when it turned out she worked at a Disney store. I was fully expecting her to be a character at Disneyland, which she kind of is. Or is that a step? How does it work? Is that a step up? Probably a step up for the greeter.
No.
Being an actual princess at Disneyland?
Yes. I thought you were saying the opposite. Yes. Store is definitely below the parks. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mike goes on to say, working at one of the stores seems even less impressive, which was a fun wrinkle. While Fish Duck was funny.
Instead of store in Glendale, you know, American Mall.
Yeah, you're far away from the actual.
Right. You're not even like a store right in Disney, right?
Yeah.
In LA, even, you know, you're.
Right.
Yeah. And so Mike Christensen continues. He says, Fish Duck bit was funny. I'm not quite sure it was episode title worthy, as it was more or less a one and done that didn't relate back to lead to anything else in the episode. Mike, you missed the whole metaphor.
No, it's a metaphor, yeah. Michael.
Yeah. overall, 4 pretties out of 5 for Mike. So another strong ranking there. And he's submitting us. Sorry, he's giving us his back rankings. We'll fold him into.
We don't need to read them all.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah.
Here's his impressions of the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah.
All right, Alex Orvitz says, awesome episode of Curveball Round. Larry's the top of his game, being a perfect mix of annoying and sort of having a point. His unhinged J.G. Wentworth exaltation was earned and hilarious. Michael, would you like to sing the J.G. Wentworth jingle for us? I feel like you have a great jingle voice.
I have a great jingle voice. Will you join?
Pass.
We do. I'm going to pass.
Okay, that's a fair pass.
We did not tell you that singing was required. have I told you the story? When we were in high school,
Canter Wax.
Yes, you need the canter. Yes, that's true.
Called JG Wentworth, 877 cash now.
When we were in 11th grade, another Z name, Azani, who was a very zany character, joined our high school class. And early in the year, we didn't know each other that well yet, but I went to his house for the weekend, and I was staying, and the family. That his family then went to another family in the area Friday night for like a Shabbos dinner. And so I came along, and then there came a certain point in the meal and they said to me, okay, you, meaning me, Alex Chester, we have a rule in this house. When a guest is here for the first time, they have to stand on the table, on top of the table, and lead us all in song. And I said, and I obviously thought this was a gag. I'm like, no. And they like kept pushing me. I'm like, no, this is insane. Mostly because I think now maybe I might do it. But, you know, I was 16 and feeling awkward or whatever. And as we walked home from dinner, Zani was mad at me. He's like, you embarrassed me. You're my friend. You come here. You don't do this. It's expected. So unless he was all a bit, it might have been a long con from Zani.
Well, he should have given you a heads up about that.
Yeah, that's true. If they
by the way, you're going to be expected to stand on the table and lead
the table and song. Yeah, I don't know if I would have come to dinner under those circumstances.
So Alex says Richard Lewis being such a hit at AA was great, and of course the Tiddler Fish Stuck conversation with the server, and the hilarious rabbi, as was Dan Levy in his brief appearance as Abe Zuckelman, not Mantle. There are older episodes I probably enjoy a little bit more, but this one gets a pretty, 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 pretty good 5 full pretties.
Come wow.
With guy is the stuck fish. The little guy deserves better than going downtown. And the fucking asshole is Mantle the lawyer. You got to still do your job despite marital issues, my guy.
Yeah, terrible job, terrible lawyer. Next we have Jack Small. Is this a first for Jack Small
in the Postman? I think it's a second.
Okay, well, welcome back, Jack Small. Welcome back, Jack. First and foremost, before any of the typical pretty, pretty, pretty good shenanigans, I just want to say rest in peace to Richard Lewis. He brought us many laughs over the years on this show we all love so much. It was a sad day when I heard of his passing. Now on to something a little more lighthearted. Gentlemen, we've done it. We've gotten back to truly great Curb. This episode is easily my favorite of the season, beating out the previous leader in the clubhouse vertical drop horizontal tug. From the opening scene with the Mantle lawyer, I knew this was going to be a great episode. The gay couple naming trope in combination with the sperm donor aspect made for one of the funnier Curb bits in quite a while. The casting of Dan Levy as Zuckelman was perfect. I love him in Schitt's Creek and was delighted to see him make an appearance on Curb. Although it felt fairly inconsequential to the rest of the story, I thought the fish storyline... Oh, another metaphor, miss! I thought the fish storyline was pretty funny as well. However, it did give rise to the only bit of this episode I didn't really think worked, which was the complimenting somebody on a clothing item so that they could give it to you. Jack, maybe you just haven't tried it yet. 50% success rate, according to Larry.
Have you ever used the I like it gambit, Michael?
No.
No? Yeah, I don't know if it works. I think it works for Leon more than it works for most people.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to try it yet.
Leon, I thought that Tinkerbell bit was funny.
Yeah,
that was hysterical.
My wife said to me at dinner tonight, she said, so I understand Curb doesn't have full scripts. So how much about Tinkerbell was in the notes for Leah, for JB's move in that scene? I'm like, there was nothing about Tinkerbell. That was all out of his Leah. Larry doesn't say, then do a bit about how you want to fuck Tinkerbell.
Yeah, that was really, I was given these broad parameters, but there was no script.
Yeah. They didn't tell the rabbi. They didn't tell the rabbi Edelman wanted to fuck Tinkerbell.
Starting acting at my age, the hardest part is memorizing lines. So not having memorize anything much easier.
Susie said that on her podcast with Jeff Garland the other day. Also, she said, "Yeah, I don't want to have to memorize lines anymore." All right, back to the email. We got appearances from almost all our supporting cast: Freddie, Richard, Susie, Cheryl, Ted, Leon, and Irma. Just missing Jeff, which is always great, as this show does so well. The ending really delivered by tying back in the Brick storyline with all the people throughout the episode that Larry wronged. My personal favorite defamatory Brick being from the rabbi, which says Larry David is a Shonda for the Goyim, a phrase whose meaning I learned on this very podcast, thanks to our great hosts. Oh, good job by us translating for the Gentiles. Is that yesterday's podcast?
I always liked her. She was one of my favorite hosts.
Jack says, I'm curious as to what degree Irma will be part of the rest of the season. Is she going to try and force her way back into a relationship with Larry? Will she relapse? I think she's gone, but interesting theory there from Jack. The episode rating, 4.5 pretties. Come with guy is Freddy Funkhauser. Goes along with Larry's growth city. Also gives Leon his jacket. And the fucking asshole is Hobie Turner. He paid God knows how much money to the synagogue just to make a defamatory remark about Larry. What an asshole.
And probably screw his whole career.
Yeah.
It might.
Exactly. He's a comedy writer in Hollywood, and he's insulting Larry David on a brick.
Yeah. All right. Kenny Eisman says, this episode was so good from start to finish. I can't wait to watch it again. I laughed out loud so many times, it made me forget how bad last week's was in comparison.
What? All right. Oh, yeah. I heard Kenny last week.
One thing I assume Alex will have already pointed out is why in the world would Larry trust Susie with finding him a new lawyer after she just found him possibly the worst therapist in history?
Yeah. We didn't mention that, but excellent point by Ken.
Yeah, good point. Mr. Mantle was so funny, and I'd love to know how many takes his scenes were, because the way Larry was egging him on was hysterical. And by the way, Larry is 100% correct here. If you give the semen, you should get the name, or at least hyphenate somewhere. The elation I had when I thought Irma would be gone was almost as much as Larry had with us finally having the payoff of the J.G. Wentworth song, and it's all worth it. I completely also, in that moment, I was just like, this is a perfect culmination of the J.G. Wentworth, and Irma's gone, and then it obviously it all falls apart for Larry at the end. But, you know, we had it there for a second. I wonder if the sponsor is going to make Larry take her back, or even if Irma would be going back at this point, which is obviously illogical, but I'm sure we'll have some comedic value. I've loved having her on the show, but I really think we need to get some amount of like Larry back in the wild. Like, we can't be done with Larry dating before this series is out. That would, I think, be wrong.
Yeah. And I think Sienna Miller's coming back one more time, or what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I really have to think that, we're past Irma, but I guess we'll find out. If the ending of the whole series would have been Larry's wall of shame, that would have been amazing. The fucking asshole of the episode is Zekelman for insisting on taking his name, even though he is not donating this season. The come with guy is Larry for asking someone to help with the script, which may be one of the nicest things Larry has ever done on the show, and it backfired on him. Shout out the episode also for throwing in Shonda. R.I.P. Richard Lewis.
All right, next we have Jim Crumley, who says, Fish Stuck was another solid episode, though not quite up to last week. There was too much plotty stuff that didn't make much sense, though there were some really good lines. The lawyer plotline was particularly yawn-worthy and a waste of Dan Levy. Oh, hot take from Jim here. Plus, it strains credulity that Larry wouldn't have thought to try to get Irma to break up with him. Yeah, we talked about that. Larry wrote a somewhat similar Seinfeld episode, The Strongbox, where George had to try to trick his then-girlfriend Mara to turn the key on breaking up. And, of course, Larry did it himself, as we said, with Vivica Fox. In the
George also does it with Susan.
Yes.
Well, he tries taking up smoking.
Yeah, but it doesn't work, so he has to kill her. Jim gives the episode 3.5 pretties out of 5.
Which is what Larry tells the guy that he's going to do to her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm going to have to give her some bad envelopes.
I've done it before.
Did you see my show? Did you ever see my show? Yeah. Come with guy Richard Lewis. Part was small this week, but it was very funny. Fucking asshole is Cyrus's daughter from the writing group. Oh, Cyrus's daughter's writing group. Kicking her out for taking bad notes. Jenna's notes were not that bad. Yeah, I agree with Jim. This writing group sounds like the rules are a little bit strict there.
All right. Zach Brooks says, I thought the reveal was going to be that Jenna was just a Disney adult. Too bad Tato, the writer, couldn't see it coming. Great to see Wedding Crashers Vince Vaughn this episode. That's a good call. He was in that mode. I was sort of expecting Mantle to be played by Michael McKean's son or something. He just looked like him, and it would have made sense with Eugene Levy's son playing his partner. I was very preoccupied during the phone call scene by
how big Larry's phone was. Wait, hold on. He's saying that Michael McKean looks like Mickey Mantle?
I don't know.
What's Zach saying there?
I've done it now. Okay. Zach, I just read them. I don't translate. We don't edit the postman. You want to put something defamatory in here?
Hate speech encouraged.
Well, I don't edit the bricks. You don't edit the postman.
That's there right. You. That's right. Yeah. Just put it in here. I'll read it. He was very preoccupied during the phone call by how big Larry's phone was compared to his head versus how small Cyrus, the sponsor's phone, was compared to his head. Okay. The come with guy is the greeter. Jenna, great Disney impressions. Fucking asshole is Irma. You're an adult woman. Don't leave your sick partner.
But we want her to. Larry.
That's true. Yeah. We do want her to. But right. Yeah. It's not so nice. Yeah. We kind of gave her a pass because we were so in favor of it. Very funny return to form episode. I was glad things came together at the end. 4.5 pretties.
Hmm. All right. Next, we will finish off with our back-to-back Irishman. We'll start with Olin Allen, who says, well, that was a bowl of wonderful. I think you mean a big bowl of wonderful, Jeff. Ebbed and flowed so wonderfully, laughs aplenty. Just a great episode that juggled so many different subplots seamlessly. Larry seemed quite spree. Is that an Irish word? I'm not sure.
Spry. Spry, probably.
Maybe it's a misspelling. Maybe it's their version of spry. He did seem spry. That's true. I'm comfortable with Vince Vaughn, and thankfully I don't think it is the end of Sweet Irma either. Oh, so Olin thinks that she's coming back, Irma. Right. And what does Olin say? What does he mean? I am comfortable with Vince Vaughn. I'm curious. I want to know more about your Vince Vaughn comfort level. I did see Bradley Cooper gave an interview where he credits Vince Vaughn for Bradley Cooper's development as an actor. He says that Vince Vaughn would just go so hard in the scenes in Wedding Crasher, and Bradley saying he would like try so hard to be very perfect in each scene, in each take, and then Vince Vaughn would just go insane, over the top. It would be perfect, and then he'd say, let's do another one, and he was so free and confident and, you know, not – or something like that. You can read the article. Google it. We don't get – oh, back to Olin. We don't get Disney greeters dressing up, but workers in Disney stores are so enthusiastic here. Due to my wife's fandom, regularly, although much more, a Looney Tunes guy. Looney Tunes has some good voices. Finally, after spotting the wife of a guest star last week, we had the daughter of one this week as the AA woman. I think Olin mentioned this in the pretty good chat. Is that right, Alf?
Yeah, I don't remember who plays the AA woman. I don't know.
I closed the IMDb page. Sorry,
all
right.
It's all good. Let's go.
But she, good job by her and by her parent, who was also on Curb. But the rating, 4.5 pretties from Olin. The come with guy from hell. Sentimentality getting the better of me? Not at all. Richard Lewis was great playing off Larry and working material at AA meetings. Couple lines, particularly about Irma's husband being like the mummy, floored me. Rest in peace. Fucking asshole. Abe Zuckelman destroying his client's relations with an important client and far too attached to his name. People really turned on the Jew here in this episode.
And finally, we end off with John Gorlami, who says, hi, guys. I had a lot of fun with this episode. Without a doubt, the best of the season. All the main and supporting cast get an A+ for their performances across the board. Poor Richard was sad to see how frail he is here. His character has been well used this season so far. Come with guy is Freddy. Fucking asshole is the Chinese waiter, another very well played character. I hope the fish was CGI. 4 solid pretties. Pretty, 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 pretty good. Excited for the rest. So that leaves just,
you know, hold on. Do you know why the Irishman was so on top of who the AA woman is? Because it's Emily McEnroe, daughter of John McEnroe. Previous guest star. So, yeah.
Did not know that.
Although I did not know Irish, that. But maybe it was O McEnroe. All right. Forget what I'm saying. All right. Well, so those are the ratings from all our listeners. Do we have a rating for the episode from you, Michael?
Well, I don't know how official any of these rankings really are.
You know, it probably was my favorite episode of this season. I thought it was the funniest. And most of the people I spoke to really thought it was the funniest episode of the season.
It also had 100% more you than the other episodes.
Well, me aside,
that always helps.
The people I watched it with were all cracking up.
Yeah, I really was as well. Yeah.
Nothing's perfect. So I'll go with, 4.5, pretty, 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 sort of thing.
Is low by guest standards, right? We've had our guests usually give the episodes that they've started a full 5. So I like the honesty there. 4.5 is still obviously
most,
a very good.
Most, no, you know, not, narcissists are just like, the episode that I'm in is 5.
The rabbi can't lie.
Look, without me, it would have been probably like a 2.8.
Yeah,
that's sure. Right.
So yeah,
you doubled it. You doubled it. All right. Well, let us ask you then.
Cloth. I've got a, if I was being myself and a lawyer, then I would lie to you and say five.
It's a lawyer's five, a rabbi's 4.5.
Yeah. Well, let us ask you then, who was your come with guy for this episode?
Who was my
come with guy, your MVP of the episode?
And again, you can name yourself.
No. I got to tell you, I thought Irma was hysterical this episode. I really do. I'm going to go with her.
Yeah, we had to pause our viewing so my wife could catch her breath after a number of her scenes.
Yeah, if you asked me going into this episode, I don't think I would have picked her, but she was really funny.
Yeah, she was great. Very funny. And then we call it the fucking asshole, but I guess we could say for you, who would you say was the, other than Larry David, the biggest Shonda Ferdigayim?
Well, it was Dan Levy, for Dan Levy, I don't, he's not for the Goyim, for, the Lantzmans, but, I thought he was, he was the biggest asshole.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
He was very nice to me on set.
But in character as Abe Zeckelman.
Yeah, well, you were the officiate who supported his position probably to keep the Jewish guy should keep the name and the Christian has to give up his name. So. That's right. All right, yeah, so can we get a cumulative rating?
It's still going to have to be converted, although we're not sure where the egg donor was. Was she, is she Jewish or not?
Interesting question, yes.
Yeah, so we got a booming score from our audience, an audience average of 4.43, which means that for the audience, this is their third favorite episode ever of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Wow.
Behind just The Table Read and Mr. Softy, according to our audience of Postman writers enters.
Obviously, then, if Allison Jones and Emily Bunton are listening, the casting directors, I could have been the linchpin to that. Yeah. So consider, perhaps a spinoff,
The Rabbi Edelman Show. Yeah.
Yeah. I would watch that. And then when we add on Michael's 4.5, my 4.5, Alex's very sad 3.5, that rounds out to a 4.23, making this the overall.
Alex gave this a 3.5.
Yeah. Alex is a big jerk.
3.5 is good. All right. I'm a tougher grader.
Yeah,
right. This is like he lives in Jersey.
Gave last week's episode a 4.5.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Horrible take. Yeah.
These ratings were made before I spoke to any rabbis.
Anyway, 4.23, making this the number 16 ranked overall episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm for the total average score. So that's really, really impressive. Clearly the best episode of the season so far, according to our ranking system. So we got 5 to go. I think we're clearly, certainly hitting our stride with the last two here. Between the two of us, these are two favorite episodes of the season, me and Alex. Yeah. But Alex,
are you guys a little apprehensive about the last one? Thinking back to Seinfeld,
Yeah.
We're going back to Atlanta
for another trial, probably.
I don't really care anymore. I just feel like I've had too many shitty finales over the years at this point that, I don't really expect much. As long as it's funny, I'll be happy. I hope they don't try to, do too much like they did last time. I don't think they will. It's Curb.
It might be funny. You see the one where the alien comes and then Larry goes like this, and gets on the spaceship. maybe that's just how they should end it,
Yeah.
Being the number 16 overall episode, according to the official pretty good rankings, it is one spot behind the anonymous donor from season 6.
Oh, wow.
So very apropos. Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
And no thumb on the scale. That's a purely mathematical rating there.
Don't you hate to be continued on TV? I mean, the whole reason you watch a TV show is because it ends. If I wanted a long, boring story with no point to it, I have my life.
All right, should we discuss next week's episode?
Yes, let's. Let's do so quickly.
Yeah, well, we don't have much information about it, so it'll have to be fairly quick. Next week's episode is called The Gettysburg Address. Here is the trailer for The Gettysburg Address.
Hey! Look at this!
Huh?
You know something? This is perfect. I have a favor to ask you.
Boy, that's a horrible way to introduce a sentence.
Wow. Look at you.
Catch as caftan. My business. All mine.
Well, I like how you plastered yourself all over Santa Monica Boulevard.
That's
here. Like,
a sales
like,
thing.
Like Queen Nefertiti.
You know who's going to be a billionaire? People who want to create a car that runs on piss.
That idiotic brain of yours has landed on something.
You drink water, you take a fucking trip, keep your dick out, put it in that little hole, fill that motherfucker up.
Fantastic idea.
The piss.
All right, so...
Obviously, Alex would not be able to use this invention.
Me?
You would not be able to fit your penis into the hole.
All right, so we got three scenes here. So the first is the balls on Ted to ask Larry for a favor. The way that he's treated Larry, stole his wife, wouldn't give him a brick. So, yeah, so that we're going to see a little bit of that. We see Susie, who once upon a time was selling bejeweled sweatshirts. Now it's big billboards in Santa Monica. Catch as Captain. And does Susie Green need a model for her billboard? No, she does not. She is the model.
I'm very excited for the potential with the Susie billboard. I feel like that has very high upside.
Yeah. And then, of course, Leon has the idea for a car run by piss, a pius, as he calls it.
That's funny.
Yeah, that would be a very environmentally friendly car. I'm just not sure.
What could go wrong?
How the technology would work.
You know, I it wasn't there, but, you know, the IMDb little blurb, I don't know if you saw that. Larry tries to make better use of the time he spends in the bathroom. Susie starts a new business, and her advertising brings surprising results. Later, Larry gives acting advice to an A-list actress.
Ooh,
interesting. So we don't know who that would be.
Yeah.
There was allusions to this in the preseason. Jeff Schaefer made reference to there being a very high profile celebrity that he couldn't name.
Oh, that was me.
that was Michael for episode six. I mean, the Gettysburg Address, could it be Abe Lincoln? Because if he comes back and shows up on the show,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, or Chet Holmgren on Oklahoma City Thunder. He kind of looks like him a little bit. Although he's not really an actress. He's more of a male basketball player. All right, so Michael, thank you for joining us. Thanks for your great role as Rabbi Edelman / Bachman on Curb. And as a guest, I think I would have to rate you...
Pretty. Get a life, Jews!